Today's episode is brought to you by Progressive, where drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. Quote now at progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Previously on Dungeons & Dragons.
There's a moment there where everybody's kind of looking around before it completely covers you.
This is weird.
Yeah, I hate this.
I have to pee.
Vel, you probably can. Wait, once we're out of here.
Oh, yeah, no, not in here.
Don't
be weird.
Don't pee in here, but once we're outside, just pee.
Fish pee in the ocean.
One of you reaches down and opens the hatch, and you all begin to file out. And as you do, you see this huge, decaying tentacle wrapped around the vessel, crushing it beneath its hefty weight. You back away from the ship that has slowed its speed so that you can keep up with it and so that it doesn't take on extra stress. And you see an undead kraken that continues to crush the ship as it turns and looks at you and lets out this screech towards you.
Release the ship.
Welcome to Dungeons & Dragons. I'm your Dungeon Master, Russ Moore. He, him. Also with me today is Carla Maxted.
She, her. I am playing Yenvel Nuri, Kalishtar Cleric, she, her, and Glim, Dragonborn Paladin, etc., also she, her.
And Amy Moore.
Yeah, hey, she, her. I am playing today Sullivan Slight, a Lightfoot Halfling Rogue, as well as Thea Amastasia, a High Elf Druid. He, him, she, her.
And Tom Laird.
Yeah, that's me. He, him. I am playing Tulgir Heavyfoot, who is a dwarf paladin. And I am also playing Moot, who is a half-orc wild magic sorcerer and something else. And they both go by he, him.
Oh, so many something else's. It's episode 102. Mm-hmm. We're well on our way to 200 episodes, everybody.
I don't
know if we'll make it to 200. Maybe. We'll see how this Kraken fight goes.
Let's get cracking, Russ.
Well, hold on. Hold on.
Some housekeeping. A little
housekeeping. Got to tidy up around here.
Oh, come on,
here.
That was a really good dad joke.
It was
nowhere
good.
Else you can find some good dad jokes.
It was a good joke.
I mean, it was a great dad
yeah.
joke.
Over there on Patreon. Patreon.com/dumbdragoncast, where we make all the dad jokes.
Wow, Amy's just taking over on these Patreon cells.
I know.
Yeah, I mean, she goes
I like to look at Russ's like blown away face when he's like, she set the website correctly.
Like,
it only took her
200 episodes to be able to do it properly.
As if it's my responsibility to do.
Yeah, this is a bonus.
This is a bonus. You're just lucky to get it.
Thank you.
You know who else is lucky to get something today? One of our patrons, because they get an episode dedicated to them. Like today's patron.
Michael Yansky.
Thanks, Michael. I hope it's not the episode where we get eaten by a kraken.
Look,
we're going to blame it on you if it is.
Everybody together in the last one. Now it's time to get
them apart.
Get them, bring them back down.
That's okay.
Darkest timeline
Put Thea and Glim in a room together.
Well, Glim's full prophecy is we're going to save the world after half our crew gets eaten by a kraken.
Total party. Is it a different name when it's total party kill, but it's two parties? It's all the parties?
Half a party.
TP Kraken.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, total party Kraken. Kraken killed them all. Thank you, Michael. And thank you for thinking about joining us. If you do and want to and check it out, just see what it's about. Patreon.com/dumbdragoncast. Now, fuck it. Let's play.
Nice.
It's It's me cracking my beer.
cracking yeah. my beer.
Guys, I'm on a roll.
We'll remind everybody where everybody is, because there are a lot of people at play. Yenbul, Tulgir, Moot, Thea, and Glim have donned a fishbowl, kind of a Sandy the Squirrel.
Yeah, I was just
scuba
gonna
tank
say that.
From SpongeBob.
Absolutely.
And been given amulets to allow them to move a little quicker underwater so that they can take on what was unknown at the time, but we found out was a kraken.
Because there are no windows on this ship. No one could look out and be well, that's a giant tentacle right there.
Flamikins just uses the sound of the hull. Oh. You know, she's so honed.
Yeah, she puts her hand against it. Right. She's like, the engine, it's off.
Yeah, can feel the vibrations.
That's right. Yeah, she just knows.
This is Snowpiercer.
Yeah. Hey, going back to the check-in, Sully is sitting beside Bahamut telling him a lovely story.
So we're going to, you know, like on an adventure stuff. And we make it to this town. And everybody's so like, Lucy, you look like you'd fit right in this town. But we helped them make this apple crumble that was just so delicious. And all it takes is some sugar, some fresh apples. You want to get some oats mixed in there, some brown sugar if you got it, and some cinnamon.
We cut up to Flamikins, who's slowed the vessel down and is feeling the vibrations, because that's what's established now, and determining where she is. She's checking charts. She's checking random vibration notebooks that she has of this region.
She just press her nipples up against the side of the ship and go, we need to go more due east.
Definitely sexual.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, I didn't put a window in this for a very specific reason. It's the darkest timeline. It's hard to get any.
Leosin is standing...
Disturbed.
No, Leosin is at the back of the vessel, just waiting to open the chamber again. Once you all hopefully return, is what he's thinking, but also doing up paperwork in the inevitable case of somebody dying.
Oh, yeah, he like put all his fucking adventures out there. God damn it, talk about eggs in one basket, people.
Right?
Yeah. Sully's
Sully's inside.
Sully's got it. It's Sully's destiny now.
We established like a special knock or something, so he'd...
yeah, it's the frantic pounding.
I'm pretty sure he said, no, don't use your magic, and then close the door.
I'm pretty sure he's there with like a 30-minute timer hourglass, don't you think? I said the word.
He flipped the hourglass and is staring at it. And pressure's building. This music that I put in here is like, things are moving by, and we move outside to the action. The Kraken taking Tulgir's very pointed response releases itself from the ship and begins moving towards you. Let's roll for initiative. And we're gonna popcorn this bitch, because that's what we do now.
You said that my voice, when I was trying to say in the last episode about how fish pee in the ocean, was cut off. Are we able to communicate with one another in there?
Good question.
No.
Then how the fuck are we supposed to popcorn this? Just lots of pointing?
Fuck.
Okay, next time. We'll popcorn next time. We'll try this time.
We can popcorn. That's fine. We'll say that there's a communication thing, and only yours was cut off, so everybody else can popcorn.
Oh,
everyone else had turned theirs on.
So Leosin was like going through a tunnel.
Yeah.
He was like, yeah, that would actually not be great.
Yeah, that's right.
Turns it off. Yeah.
No, everybody has some sort of communicator of some sort that they're able to speak with each other, because otherwise this is going to be not as fun.
Just a silent fight.
Yeah, that's right. Podcast. It's just the sound of swooshing water as, you know, just things are happening, screaming monsters, and then something.
Do we have to roll for initiative?
Yeah, everybody's got to roll for initiative. I'm just killing
but
the
why?
Time.
Wait,
but
do we have
if it's popcorn?
But we roll two?
Well, we got to figure out who starts.
Moo rolled a 9.
Glim rolled a 20.
Tulgir rolled an 18.
I'm so glad I only have to play one person.
Yenbul rolled an 11.
Okay, so Glim
rolled a 17.
Glim, you emerge from the ship and turn and look and see this cracking. What do you do with your newfound Bahamut energy?
I'm going to use my breath weapon. No, I'm not going to light a fire in my fish tank.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I got to say, You'd think having fire breath would come in super handy, but it comes in less handy than you would think, unless someone touches your fucking donkey and then let it rip.
Yeah.
But, well, sure, then it's all bets are off, but...
I think I will attack it with my sunblade.
Ooh.
New weapon. Let me describe it to you, because it's new.
Yeah.
It looks like just the hilt of a longsword, but I use a bonus action to cause a blade of pure radiance to spring into existence. While the blade exists, this magic longsword has the finesse property. So I get some attack bonuses, blah, blah, blah. When you hit an undead target with it, that target takes an extra 1d8 damage.
Yeah, it does.
Also, nice. It's made some light. It's probably dark down here. It's made bright light in a 15-foot radius, a dim light for an additional 15 feet. That light is sunlight, which I bet that Kraken does not love.
Not a fan of.
33. I rolled another nat 20.
Boom.
Uh-huh.
Okay. Roll me some beautiful damage and then tell me what your nat 20 fucking looks like on this undead motherfucker.
So 15 plus 6. You only get the bonus on the first one, right? So 21 plus another d8. Just cuz. So 25 damage. I feel like Glim is really infused with the spirit of Bahamut in a way she has not been for several years. So she is putting all of her Bahamut love energy into this radiance weapon and is going to, I think, probably strike for whatever... Like, maybe there's a tentacle nearby that I can try and slice through.
Yeah, this thing is, it's got, like... This, like, what's the fish with the angler fish kind of, like, mouth? Like, almost like a dragon, like, forehead with these almost arm-like
ears.
Appendages that come off that kind of look like ears. And it has, like, this tentacly beard thing. Mm. All of this is very undead, very decaying. Huge, like, spikes coming out of its back as it moves down this long squid-like body. And then royals of tentacles all over the place.
I forgot, guys. I have another attack.
I figured, yeah.
What am I doing? So let me describe what I do after I give it more damage, okay?
Do it.
Oh, I thought it was going to be another nat 20. 27.
Okay.
14. So 17 more damage.
Okay.
So 25 plus 17. So having seen the picture of it now, rather than one of it has more like thin squid tentacles, not like octopus arm tentacles. Yep. So I'm actually going to go for its weird ear arm thing and try and cut through one of those as opposed to getting in the mix with all those swirly tentacles at the back end.
Yeah, two huge hits go in and flesh and black. It doesn't react like blood because this thing isn't alive. Like, it just begins to pool out more ink-like. Your sunblade cuts through. It gets dark as it goes into the flesh and then illuminates as it comes back out. Everybody sees, like, the silhouette of you fighting against this Kraken. That is all you can do for your turn presently?
I think so.
Okay. It is going to try and grab you with one of its tentacles.
But doesn't Carla...
It has like legendary actions. Huh. So,
fucking legendary actions. I
know.
I guess we are super high level, so that's only
so that's a 6 on the die, plus 17 to hit. So that's...
plus 17 to hit?
23 to hit.
That will hit.
Yeah.
That
will. So you're going to take 20 bludgeoning damage.
God damn!
And the target is grappled. There's no... on your turn, the escape DC is 18. You are restrained, and it has 10 tentacles, each of which can grapple one target.
Oh, boy.
That has happened. You turn to look and try and signal one of your allies, and you get wrapped up and bashed up by this tentacle.
Moot, help a girl out.
Question for you, Russ.
Yeah.
I have a spell here called Slow.
Okay.
And it says, I can alter time for up to 6 creatures of your choice in a 40-foot cube within range. Now, can I just target, like, the Kraken? Or will Glim as well be in there?
No, it's your choice, right?
Perfect.
And this is one of your sorcerer spells or one of your other spells?
This is one of my other spells.
Okay, so wild magic does not trigger then.
All right, so you need to make a wisdom saving throw.
Oh, so wise. So wise.
I mean, an undead kraken's got to have some brains, right?
So that's a 16.
All right, well, 16 isn't going to handle it. So Moot reaches into his spell component bag and brings out a little stopper that's filled with, like, some brownish liquid. And he takes one drop of it out of the stopper, and he casts slow. And an affected target's speed is halved. It takes -2 penalty to AC and dexterity saving throws, and it can't use reactions. And on your turn, you can either use an action or a bonus action, but not both.
One action or bonus action. And reactions, though, are legendary actions reactions?
Great question. So.
Legendary actions can be chosen and turns as reactions, so it can't do those.
Oh, no. He can't do those anymore, guys.
Can't do those.
Oh, no. Too bad. That's
it. All right, so...
At Evernorth Health Services, we believe costs shouldn't get in the way of life-changing care. And we're doing everything in our power to make it possible. Behavioral health solutions that also keep your projections at their best? It's possible. Pharmacy benefits that benefit your bottom line? It's possible. Complex specialty care that cares about your ROI? It's possible. Because we're already doing it. All while saving businesses billions. That's Wonder made possible. Learn more at evernorth.com/wonder.
Hi, I'm Yusuf Dahl, and when I was 18, I was convicted of selling drugs. For the past 3 years, I've had difficulty finding housing because it is legal in the United States to discriminate against individuals that have a past drug distribution conviction on their record for life. It doesn't matter if it was a hard drug like heroin or a drug that's now legal or partially legal in many states across the country, like marijuana. The Thurman Amendment was introduced to the Fair Housing Act in 1988 by segregationist Strom Thurmond, and it's since been used to deny housing to all people. But because people of color are disproportionately jailed for drug charges, we are affected more. My goal is to overturn this amendment to start an end to housing discrimination that unfairly targets people of color. If you would like to join this movement, please visit ThurmanAmendment.org to learn more.
A message from the Fable and Folly Network. The Fable and Folly Network supports creators of exceptional audio stories, including the one you're listening to right now. If you love our shows, we want to hear from you. Complete our listener survey at fableandfolly.com/survey. This will help us learn more about you, what you like, what you'd like to hear more of, and how we can maintain an inclusive, safe atmosphere. As a thank you for your participation, we have extras and behind-the-scenes content from your favorite shows. Fans make the network what it is. Thanks for listening, and we can't wait to hear from you. Find our listener survey at fableandfolly.com/survey today.
Like a wave goes out in the water around you. Glim, you feel like the muscles... Not constrict, because that's not the term I'm looking for, because that would mean that it's trying to hurt you more, but like...
Tense?
Atrophy? Tense or atrophy, like slow, and the what was very quick movements that it was making to try and advance on your team has slowed as well. So its swim speed was 60 feet, it's now 30 feet. Not a huge deal, it's a huge thing, but... that, you know, will make a difference. Okay.
And I'm going to look over at Thea. I'm going to say, well, what do you got?
Hey, you, magic user. What are you going to do?
Don't cast any
it's
spells
so
now.
Taffy. I'm looking through Yenvols, and it's like, I guess I'll just...
Do you need to roll on the table by any chance, though, Tom, with all your spellsies?
No, because it's the other thing. It's not the sorcerer thing. So
no. It's the other thing.
So, yeah, no killing magic.
Does anything... we can cut this back. Does anything physically change about Moot when he makes that spell?
Ooh, good question. Yeah, maybe he like has like a dark
little... his hair gets messy, I swear to God.
No, maybe like a little like dark ripple.
Okay.
Kind of goes through him, like, and like it's not really noticeable unless you're watching for it, but
yeah, everybody else wouldn't really see it, but yeah, there is like this aura that comes off of him as that happens.
Thea swims up next to Glim and says, "Cool sword, looks magical," and takes out her regular scimitar and just goes hacking at the tentacle that's got Glim all wrapped up.
So much shade.
Fuck. That's a 15.
Even with the minus two, still doesn't do it. Glances off its natural armor.
Oh.
You do have two attacks, right?
One of them has to be magical. My second attack is melee.
I mean, they for casting magic. Then you've seen one pull out a magic sword and another one cast a spell without any other knowledge.
Fair enough. I'm gonna take their lead. So
I'm doing my own thing.
I'm like, the scimitar is not working. And then I look at her and I shrug. And then I'm going to cast. This thing's hurt already, yes?
Yep.
So I'm going to Toll the Dead.
Okay.
So I point at it and I don't know how bells sound under the water, but... just like that. And the target needs to succeed on a wisdom saving throw.
Oh, it did so well the first time. 18.
So you don't take any damage then. I shrug. And I look at Yenbul and I'm like, my confidence is shook.
I hate this because it is like the only thing I can do is magic. But magic kills the earth. But if we don't kill the creature, we all die. And then what's the point in saving the thing anyway?
Yeah.
So... I feel like, into Yenbul's mind, Yenbul hasn't really stopped using magic that much.
It's true.
You guys haven't noticed because she feels like, you know, she's not doing it to, like, tie up her shoes.
There are
she's
other people eating cows.
Yeah. Let's go, like...
Or being vegetarian. So you having the burgers, not going to be that big of a deal. Other people are...
Let's go.
Pulling their hard vegetarian weight.
Introspective, yeah. Like mind palace here on Yenbul.
Yes.
Just like, as she's like looking through her spell book or whatever she's doing to think about what to do. And then
her underwater spell book.
Her underwater spell book. Yeah, it's laminated.
Well,
yeah.
She's got it all up here.
I'm in the library in my mind.
That's right. Yeah.
Well, I'm not supposed to use magic, but if I don't kill the creature kills us. And what is the point? No one can save the world. Magic is gone anyway. So. It must be done. And I am going to... I don't think I've done this before.
Ooh, I'm always excited when there's something new.
What happens when you call lightning underwater?
Good question.
Let's find out together.
How deep are we underwater?
Like, pretty deep.
How many leagues would you say?
40,000?
It would be at least 39,000.
Jesus.
Oh, that's quite far.
We're pretty deep. Pretty deep. Like, yeah, you're riding the bottom of the ocean because, you know, in what was talked about off-screen is, like, Flamekins is worried about shit coming from the air, so she doesn't want to be, like, too high up or have anybody follow them.
Because God forbid we die or we get attacked close to the surface where we have a chance of escaping.
Yeah.
Yeah. We're all going to get the bends and it's going
to
be bad.
Yeah, exactly. I cast Water Walk. Float up to the top and die from
die immediately.
Okay, let's see. Sorry,
no,
I was
okay.
Looking at things before, but it's so tough. So many of mine are like affect lots of people, and Glim's still grappled, right? So I'm not going to be like
she doesn't know Glim.
I mean,
Glim did just come kill that dragon.
This is Russ's long con to have Carla kill one of her own characters.
Oh my god.
Oh my god.
I'm the worst.
Diabolical. I love it.
Can't banish it. It's holding Glim. Also bad. Okay, I will do this because Glim can take it. I am going to cast Destructive Wave. That can happen under the ocean.
Sure, yeah.
A burst of divine energy ripples outward. Oh, never mind. It's not even going to hit Glim. Each creature you choose must succeed on a con saving throw.
Sweet. Then that's 27.
Roll bad.
Whoa.
Fuck. Okay.
What is even the point? No.
Takes half as much. So you will take 5d6. No. I roll it, and then you just take half of it, right?
Yep.
So many character sheets. So that is 17 thunder damage, and then you are also going to take 15 radiant damage as well. Tolgir, what have you got?
Telgir's going to swim over there with his battle axe in hand and attempt to strike it down. Take like these big two-handed hacks at this Kraken. It's a 28. Second one is a 26. 27 slashing damage in total.
Whoa!
With a magical slashing weapon.
Y'all so magic.
Hey, you magic? And as I finish up with the second one, it starts to react. Who knows how good it'll be for old Tolgir?
Only gets one action or bonus action because of your slow spell.
Nice.
Yeah, it does.
So it's going to, it lets out like this wail that rings out through the water and vibrates the bowls on your head. Exactly, a Chewbacca. And it's going to try to, it looks at you with menacing eyes, Tolgir, but then pulls Glim in to its mouth for a 29 to bite you, Glim.
Mm-hmm. That'll do it.
So you're going to take 23 piercing damage, and you are swallowed.
Again?
Oh,
again.
No.
In two different timelines. It's like, you know, this one actually makes sense, though.
Because this is the just other a one, reoccurring thing for her.
All the time streams are connecting. So you are swallowed. So you're no longer grappled by its tentacle, but you are inside of it. So, silver lining.
Imagine if it swallowed you while grappling you with the tentacle.
Just bites off its tentacle. And
it's just like,
So you are blinded and restrained. You have total color cover against attacks and other effects outside the Kraken. You do take a large number of acid damage at the start of each of its turns. Mm-hmm. If it takes a bunch of damage, it has to succeed on a con save or throw you up. It's going to try and make a wisdom saving throw for Moot's spell. Yeah, it's a 19.
19 is enough to pass.
All right. So
good while it lasted.
Like this huge bite comes out of you, Glim, and then everything begins to speed up for this monster again. Ship's going to go next inside.
Sounds like
just hand to the wall.
It sounds like they're doing a really good job out there. I'm going to start to move and get away from this thing.
And she hits a button and tethers begin to shoot out of the back and begin to drag behind it as you see the ship begin to pull away. So there's something to grab onto.
Yeah, thanks.
Sully.
And then all these old people are like getting it on and stuff. And like, it's kind of unreal, but it really seems like a place you'd want to settle down after a life of adventuring, you know? I mean, you know, you're like, well, I don't want to be rude. You're like, what? 900? I don't know how long gods live for, probably forever. But let me tell you, as soon as you wake up, we're going to make you some of that apple crumble. It's going to change your world.
Who goes next, Sully?
Thea, because she wants to do something fucking cool.
All right.
And also is totally chuffed that, like, she's like, man, she had to go and get herself swallowed and get to see this. She wants to show off for Glim.
Camera zooms quick out the back of the vessel. And Thea.
I'm going to cast something I've never cast before. Thea starts swirling her hands around a little bit because she's never done anything like this in water. Actually, she's never done anything like this at all. And she conjures an elemental at 8th level. And so that means she does not just conjure one elemental. She conjures 3 elementals. And the elementals that she conjures are fire-infused water elementals. And these elementals that live between the state of fire and water appear in front of, or no, appear beside the three of them. And it looks, they are almost a liquidy humanoid shape that looks like roiling, boiling water form, as well as almost like seeing it steam underwater, if you can picture all that.
Nice. What is the level of control that you get over these elementals?
Good question. Let's see here.
I would love to control three elementals.
The summoned creatures are friendly to you and your companions.
Oh, okay, darn.
I have a bunch of spells where it's like, you can summon a demon, but like, it might try to kill you. Yeah. I'm like, okay, cool.
You roll initiative for them. It has its own turn. They obey any verbal commands that you issue to them.
Okay.
And if you don't issue commands to them, they will just defend themselves from hostile creatures and otherwise take no actions.
Okay, I've added the elementals into the rotation. So cool. these three elementals, fire roils up and begins like bubbling the water that's around it.
And I say, hold on a sec. And I take out my longbow and I just want to shoot it in the eye. Shoot the, because I have an action. So I want to. Oh, no, I don't. I say, never mind. I was shooting an arrow at the creature in the general direction that I want you guys to go fight with us, please.
You realize that arrows underwater, not a great.
No, it didn't go well. It didn't go well. So these elementals are going to take their turns.
Okay.
Because I tell them, go for it. They have a multi-attack.
Jeez.
Yep. So the first one is going to slam.
Just settle in while Amy takes
all of the turns.
You know what? Okay.
And it's going to be great.
This is what happens throughout the years of podcasting. I get like.
I've saved up all the
turns.
I get
one turn here and there. And then every once in a while, I'll be like, I create seven things. And then I have all their turns.
I love it.
So the first one is going to slam twice. It's a nat 20 8.
We cut back to Flamekins.
Wait, there's slamming going on out there? God damn it, I should have gone out with the fight.
Back to you.
She has her tits pressed up against the...
Yeah, slam it, baby.
The wall.
Give it to that Kraken. Kraken didn't know what hit it.
Okay.
It's only a little bit upsetting.
Only a smidge. 32 for the first attack. Damage for the slam, and it gets to do it again. Oh, plus 9 fire damage.
Okay, so 32 plus 9, 41.
Oh, sorry. 40. Wait. Plus another 6 fire damage.
Who let her cast these? Plus another 6, 47. Okay. And it still has one more attack.
And it has one more slam.
Okay. So next time, roll both slams.
That's another nat 20, y'all.
Oh, my God.
Oh, yeah, baby.
Not only does Amy save up all of her turns through years of playing, she saves up all of her nat 20s.
All my nat 20s.
Wowza.
So that is a 6 and 9. That's 15 nice. Plus 5, so that's 20. Plus another 10, 30. 32.
Glim, you've been regurgitated during this.
35. 3 of that was fire damage.
Okay. Is this thing still alive? So that's 70 something. Oh, yeah, it's still alive.
Oh, good, because there are 2 more elementals who need to take their turns.
middle
We have an unlimited, we're scheduled till 2027. We can't blow through all of the songs.
Oh, that reminds me, I have to do the schedule for next year. Okay, bye everybody. Oh. No. No, we're in the middle. And hey, thanks for being here with us. We really appreciate it. And that's really what we want to say here.
is that we love you and you being here, and we don't say it enough. So this is us saying it in perpetuity every time you listen to this episode from now and forever.
I love
it. So just if you could listen to this episode maybe like quarterly or however mm-hmm. often you want to feel mm-hmm. like it would be nice to be told that we love you.
Yeah, if you ever just need that pick-me-up, fire up episode, whatever this episode is.
102.
And skip right to the middle.
And while we've got you here.
Oh, no. Can't do it now. You set it up as we were just telling,
we love them.
So yeah, no. We love you, know what? And that's
it. We were going to tell you something else, but you know what? Nah. I mean, if you wanted to go listen to the Halloween episode again, you could.
Both parts. Not just our part.
Spout Lore's fucking hilarious, and we love those folks.
Oh, they were delightful.
So after you listen to this every quarter, just hit up both of those Halloween episodes also.
Perfect.
They're going to be up there always. The Halloween Bonanza 2021 is really the best Halloween Bonanza that we've ever done to this point.
It's true.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if this is going to be a regular thing, but what we are doing at Christmas is another crossover with some other amazing folks, Dum Dums and Dragons. I feel like I put too many S's in that one. Folks, Dums and Dragons.
I mean, it works.
So get looking forward to that one. Somebody else talk.
Yeah, get looking. No, that's
just get looking forward to
that's
it.
That's a saying. Get looking forward to that one.
Yeah.
Middle. So to recap.
Oh boy.
We're in the middle.
We love you.
Halloween Bonanza was a blast, and it's not tied to Halloween. It's just a bonanza.
It's just really. It's just your run-of-the-mill bonanza.
Yeah, your mid-November bonanza. It's your American Thanksgiving bonanza is what it is.
Perfect.
And also the holidays are coming, and we're doing a sweet crossover with some good folks, Dum Dums and Dragons. Make sure you go check them out, but also listen to that coming up. Look at all these great things we have going on, including this Kraken battle that we're in the middle of right now, baby. It's a real crunchy D&D episode is what we're in the middle of.
And
testing out all those new skills.
We love you.
And we love
you. We love you.
Thanks for being here. Okay, back to the episode now. Bye.
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 All right, roll all four attacks.
I'm not going to do all four attacks. They have other stuff that's going on.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
I'm
going to do it all.
So after this first one hits, though, it regurgitates Glim out as it takes this massive damage. So Glim, you come flying out. It illuminated. The sun sword comes out and you see the face of this thing. It's torn apart and like bubbling. Like the flesh is bubbling, which is weird. And then you look and you see three fire elementals. And then you look and Thea's cast a magic, huge magic, big magic.
Sorry, I did big magic. And then the next one decides to use Scald.
Okay.
So a fire-infused water elemental sprays a 30-foot cone of superheated water. I yell, get out of there! To Glim.
You, get out of there.
Each creature in the area must make a DC dexterity saving throw.
Well, you said it like there were three that came up around it?
Yeah.
Okay, so, I mean, unless one of these elementals don't give no fucks about Glim, like it's probably one of the other ones, we'll say.
Okay, yeah, sure.
Plus 7 is 9.
Nah, not good enough. That's 66 fire damage.
Okay.
Oh, here we go. Finally, Thea's doing stuff.
It'd be hurtful if it wasn't so true. 23 fire damage, and it's knocked prone.
No, it's not, because it's underwater. Can't knock something prone that's floating.
Okay. So then the third one is going to do a slam multi-attack again.
Okay.
And that is for, it's only for a 17.
So, hold on. I forgot I can do these. So between the second and the third one, it's going to set off a lightning storm as a legendary action.
This is Russ throwing a DM hissy fit.
That's
watch
right.
Everybody.
Ouch.
This is Russ actually being a DM.
That's right.
Instead of what we normally do where he like sugarcoats everything.
He only does
for
it for me.
I've been doing it for everybody
to be
else.
Fair, you've been eaten
you
several times.
You are doing bananas
damage.
Okay. Very
The Kraken magically creates three bolts of lightning, each of which can strike a target the Kraken can see within 120 feet. Target must take make a DAC 23 dexterity saving throw. So it's going to shoot for Thea, for Moot, and for the elemental that has not gone yet.
Okay.
So I need a dex saving throw. Got to beat a 23.
I did not. Right. I got 12.
Dex saving throw. Okay, here we go. Didn't even come close with 14.
Okay, and roll for your elemental.
17.
So the three of you are going to take 26 lightning damage.
Okay.
That sparks through the water, which is also going to give everybody else around them 13 lightning damage.
Hold on.
That don't get a save because it's just running through the water.
Wow, it's like the one thing it's not resistant to.
All right, your third attacker.
Okay, my third attacker is going to... just got hurt and is mad. So they are going to multi-attack again with two slam attacks.
Okay.
So the first one is a 23.
Yep.
Okay. And the second one is a 20.
Okay.
Can I just say these two? 15 plus 17. Yeah.
32.
Plus 10.
42.
Two ones plus two.
44.
That much damage.
Wow.
He said, wow, you guys, and it wasn't sarcastic at all.
No.
No, it sounded I mean,
needed. It was very...
It sounded kind of sad.
That's almost 200 damage that you did on that turn. It's still alive, but you did almost 200 damage.
Oh my god.
Yep. Well, hope Bahamut's not dead. Glim, you want to stab him? You were inside of him.
I kind of just give her a look. Like, I'm amazed at what she just did. And I get that we're all doing what I told her not to do, but I don't know.
It's going to be words later.
You did, you did it first.
So I'm going to attack with the Sunblade. I'm going to Action Surge. So I think then I'll have four attacks, right? If I have two... Then I Action Surge, I get a second one. So,
you betcha.
So do you want me to roll all the attacks first and then roll all the damage?
Yeah.
Does that make the most sense?
Let's do that. Yeah.
Okay. So 25.
Okay. Yep.
15.
No.
Eeny, meeny, miny, no.
No.
21.
Yep.
And 26.
Yes, you got 3 out of 4.
Okay, so I am going to roll. So 10 plus 27 is 37 damage.
Nice.
All right, this Kraken, like things, tentacles are beginning to fall off with all these hacks and fire blasts, and like the skin is decaying, and like there's becoming this cloud of filth in the water. It's making it hard to see the monster, but it's not looking good, basically is what I'm saying.
And who's left? Yenbol and Moot?
Yeah, it's going to try and a tentacle attack use 23.
Okay. Yep, do it.
So another 20 bludgeoning and you are grappled again.
Jeepers, creepers. Well, what's Tolgir been doing? Let's see what he does.
Tolgir sees the tentacles go for you and he takes the opportunity to continue hacking and slashing away at this fucking thing.
Okay.
Two attacks with the old battle axe. One's a nat 20 and the other is a 27.
So many nat 20s.
Yeah, yeah.
Is the green dice, the classics. Yeah. They're working tonight. I love it.
They've been in the reserve. They've been, you know, holding back that energy.
Resting up.
Yeah. Just for when they were needed, when they were called upon, they were here to rise to the action. I'm going to grab one more D8 because that will just make my life easier with rolling all this stuff. All right, so the nat 21 will be 8 and 8, 16 on that one, and then 6, 9, 15 on the second, so 31 damage just on the nat 20.
Oof.
And then 12 damage on the second one.
Math is hard with big monsters.
After Tugir does all his hacking and slashing, he like hits his hand against the ship to indicate it's the ship's time to shine.
We cut to the cockpit. Flamekins has pressed herself so hard up against the wall.
Oh god.
She's like, it's me. Oh, it's me. Okay. Oh shit. Okay. Pedal to the metal, everybody. Hold on.
Oh god. She's taking it like when you hit the top of a taxi, like, go.
She slams it and it begins to take off there, still within range for you all to catch up to it and grab those. But she is out of reach of the Kraken for the ship at the moment. I'm going to put the Kraken next. It's just what's going to happen.
Before we murder it.
That's right. Glim, he's going to not try to eat you this time. It's going to fling you 60 feet in a random direction.
Oh, because I'm just grappled. You're just swallowed. Grappled. I was thinking I was swallowed.
He barfs you 60 feet in a random direction.
It's a very powerful barf.
So he throws me 60 feet.
He's going to whip you 60 feet. You're going to roll a d4 for me. North, sure. South, east, west is what it's going to be. 1, 2, 3, 4.
Okay, here we go.
North, south, east, west. It's going to throw you directly to the west, which is away from the ship and your friends, 60 feet. So you would have to dash in order to get back on your next turn. And then it's going to tentacle attack. Nah, it's going to lightning storm again. Yeah, that seemed to work last time. It's going to lightning storm again. It's going to attack two of the elementals and one towards Thea.
I love the image of a Kraken just yeeting Glim away.
What do we have to do again?
You got to make a dex save. Got to beat a 23 for, you got to roll three times. So one's for Thea.
One's for Thea. That's a 20.
Nope.
The elemental, that's a 20.
Nope.
And that's a 3.
Okay. So everybody's going to take, the three of you are going to take 22 lightning damage.
Jesus.
Everybody except Glim are going to take another 11 lightning damage. Let's go, Yembol. Your turn.
Okay. Seems like lightning's really happening and cool down here. So I am also.
Everybody's taking damage.
Yes.
Putting that out there. It's happening.
Right.
But everybody's taking.
Can I cast Control Water?
There's a lot of water around you.
There sure is. And what I'd like to do is part the water. I'd like to cause the water in the area to move apart and create a trench. So that the Kraken is no longer in water. It is now in a trench of air where it can, I don't know, you tell me, probably not do its normal stuff.
Let me see what it can breathe air and water. Freedom of movement ignores difficult terrain. Magical effects can't reduce its speed or cause it to be restrained.
Jesus, the one thing you think you could do to a giant squid would be to take it out of water. Like, and it's like,
I mean, I'm going to do this cool shit. Oh, it doesn't affect it at all.
It can spend 5 feet of movement to escape from non-magical restraints or be grappled. So it doesn't slow it down. It would like drop to the floor, which we said we're pretty close to the bottom. So depending on how deep your trench goes, like it would... Gravity would take over.
How much water can you move?
Yeah.
I can move 100-foot cube.
Right. So, I mean, you would be able to drop it 100 feet away from you.
Right.
You know, for flavor's sake, we could say that 100 feet is the bottom of the ocean.
Sure, so he drops to the bottom of the ocean, and I guess nothing else happens, but it looks pretty cool.
Well, no, because 100 feet's going to take fall damage.
Oh, there we go. Because it's hitting something, at least, on
right.
the bottom.
Yeah.
Every 1d6 for every 10 feet it fell. So that's 10d6.
Nice.
You want to roll that?
Sure I do. 35 fall damage.
Heck yeah!
Okay, describe to me what it looks like.
The sickening noise.
The sickening noise.
When this Kraken dies.
As it hits the bottom of the ocean floor.
Let's say it starts free falling through what is now air, and it looks disgusting because it's all like soft and weird and loose. It's like lost its form, sort of.
Yeah.
And then it falls, and unfortunately, there is a pirate ship on the bottom of the ocean, and it stabs right through the mast. It falls right down onto it.
It's a real...
That is the best.
This is a real Little Mermaid situation. I like it.
It It's awesome. That happens. It explodes up, and then I presume you drop the spell as it, like, it's clear that you die, and like this water cascades down on top of it. You all kind of survey the scene and look to each other, and then notice that the tethers are just moving just within reach, and you grab them and zip off behind, climbing back up into the vessel. You get back inside, and some time passes. How does Sully's story end, first of all?
And we were really surprised to get that baby shower invitation in the mail. We thought she was way past the time when she could. But you know what? Love is love. And hopefully, they live happily ever after. I mean, we haven't seen them in a while. Wow, that kid would be like 8 years old now. Oh, damn. Time flies, am I right?
A couple hours have passed, and you're all recovering, sitting, kind of mending your wounds.
Are we?
Not completely. Not yet. And the vessel's going, and there's like a disruption. Like, you feel it like almost like it goes over a heavy speed bump.
Everybody else feel that?
What's
going on?
Bumpy.
I don't know. This is a new territory for me. It feels different, though.
There's a wash of energy that fills through the vessel. And what you don't see, but the camera kind of zooms out of the ship and up above the ocean, is you've passed through this barrier. And on the other side of this barrier is bright sunlight, a green forested island, and clean, clear, breathable air as we look over the island of Maztica. It's the end of the week, and it's in a quiet space. There's a little low murmured conversation of Flint and his family, but Flint isn't really taking part in it. There's a well put together spread for a buffet, and Flint is seated there, deep in thought, looking through the crowd, through his family, through the conversation, just kind of mindlessly picking at the food on his plate. And your concentration, or lack thereof, is broken when Hel just speaks up and says, you feeling all right there, Flint?
Yeah, it's just, I don't know, had this guy in the jail, this dragonborn, the other day, and he was talking like just absolute nonsense about rivers and Chult and somebody named Scyther, and I don't know. He'd been in jail for like a day and a half, but he had this whole other like story going on in his head.
Well, is he one of the drunk tank ones? Like, could he have just dreamed it up? And
I mean, maybe, I don't know. I asked him if he was one of those dreamwalkers that, you know, you've heard about, but he didn't really answer me. And then of course, well, I had to let him go. He paid his fine. So,
right.
But I don't know. It's just, he's just been stuck in my head ever since then.
Did he look familiar? Like maybe you knew him from some military days, or?
You know, I don't think so, but something in the back of my mind says that he did look familiar, but I can't place where he's from.
Maybe you'll see him around and you can ask him.
You know what? Maybe I will. I don't think he's going to stick around town, though. I don't think he had a great time here.
Yeah, no, that's fair.
Or maybe he had too great of a time and then doesn't want to revisit that.
Yeah, that's something. Hey, everything else going okay? Work good?
Yeah, I mean, no major complaints there. Glory Gem's good right-hand man. Really made some positive changes with the city guard. I'm feeling pretty good about where we're at.
Hear your father's voice. Hey, pass the potatoes there. Reaches his hand over, and as you look over his hand,
It gives you a start because his hand is decayed. And as you kind of pull back, it snaps back and he's there and he looks startled. Like, is everything okay?
Yeah, sorry. Just, I don't know. I had a little trick on the old eyes there. Here's the potato. Sorry. There you go.
Oh, yeah. No, it's okay.
I guess I just didn't sleep well last night or something.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. Get some more sleep. Don't worry about coming in tomorrow. We got your shift covered for you.
Well, I mean, you know I love it. But yeah, I might need the day off, but we'll see. If I have a good night, I'll head in, and if not, well then yeah, I'll sit that one out. You having another there, champ?
Yeah, one more. One more might be good.
Same as last time, or do you want to mix it up?
Surprise me.
Okay, I love a challenge. The bartender kind of turns around and surveys the bottles to choose from and grabs one on the right-hand side, and it's kind of this, like, orangey, earthy tone kind of bottle, and he pours, like, two fingers into a glass for you. Says, give that one a try. You might like it.
Port picks it up and holds it up to the soft candlelight in this tavern and says, all right. Downs it.
And it's a real harsh, like fiery liquid hits the back of his throat. And he kind of winces a little bit and closes his eyes. And as he opens them, he sees the mirror in behind the bartender, like the glass back there. And looking back at him, just for a split second, is that dwarf from the jail.
He almost like spit takes, but instead of spit coming out, like this electricity shoots from his nostrils and like hits the tabletop, which starts just a little fire that he quickly like pats out and says, sorry.
What's up there, Dragon Man? Bad reaction to the booze?
Sometimes, electricity and liquids don't go well together. Hey, is everything okay? I think I've been, an upstanding citizen today.
I mean, you've been all right since you've been here.
Yeah. What brings you to this end of town?
Just been thinking. Mostly about you.
Well, I'm flattered, friend. Something about our meeting, stood out.
I can't get it out of my head. Where do I know you from? I know you from somewhere.
You've been around Chult? No, it wasn't Chult.
No.
Done any time? You left the mountain.
Yeah, I used to be a soldier, but I don't know. I remember most Dragonborn I've ever met, few and far between for a dwarf, but, you're on the tip of my tongue. I just can't place you.
You ever been to the Library of the Dead?
Holy shit.
What?
It's you.
Yeah, in the flesh.
What the fuck is happening?
I don't know, Flint. How do we get out of here?
First off, where are we? This isn't right.
It's a perfect world, isn't it?
Yeah, it's a little too good.
Yeah, well, for some, mine's been a hellscape. Constant running, trying to find a way out, and now I'm back to you.
You made that choice, though.
Yeah. Didn't make a choice to be soul-bound.
Okay, yeah, you didn't make that choice, but you made the choice to run.
Yeah. Yeah, I did.
I mean, I really could have used your help.
Yeah.
At the Well of the Dragons. And I get why you didn't.
Mm.
But, like, things could have turned out a whole lot differently.
I tried to make it so that you could just be you, Flint. But it doesn't look like the universe or the gods or whoever wants that to happen.
Yeah, it's been a bit of an uphill battle. So what's next?
Dungeons & Dragons, Season 2, Episode 102, starring Amy Moore as Thea Amastasia and Sullivan Slight, Carla Maxted as Yembel Nuri and Glim, Tom Laird as Tulgir Heavyfoot, Flint Firebeard and Moot, and Russ Moore as your Dungeon Master. Editing, production, and sound design by Russ Moore. This episode featured music from Epidemic Sound and sound effects from Epidemic Sound, Boom Library, and Sound Ideas. A huge thank you to our supporting producers, Gabriel Lynch, Jessica Babiak, Kat Waterflame, Darylith, Jacob Madden, Devin Michaels, Christian Brown, Aaron Stevens, Lou Lahan, Charlie Warley, and Craig Zeiss. To support Dungeons & Dragons and our many other productions and get access to an exclusive podcast called The Adventures Of, bonus episodes, and much more, please join our Patreon at patreon.com/dumbdragoncast. You can also follow us at facebook.com/dumbdragonpodcast and on Instagram and Twitter at dumbdragoncast. Thank you for listening. Have a great week. We'll talk again soon. Dungeons & Dragons is a Dumb Dragons production.
The Fable & Folly Network, where fiction producers flourish.
I got this really strange email last night.
I need to see what's going on with this mystery file.
Hey, it's a map of a town called Ocean Bay.
Someone sent these images to you for a reason.
I'm so lost right now.
When was the last time you chose a direction and followed it?
I'm going to Ocean Bay.
We don't get many tourists this time of year.
Ocean Bay is a friendly town, but we're not that friendly.
I never sent you an email. I don't even know you.
And why exactly are you here?
The map is the reason we're here.
Maps help when you're lost.
Do you know what a trap street is?
Trap streets aren't real. They don't exist.
Don't trust anyone unless they give you a reason to trust them.
I think he's dead.
How could so much damage happen to a human body in such a short period of time?
What the hell is going on here?
From the creators of Strange Air, this is Trap Street.
So maps can have secrets.
Yes, maps can have secrets.